message. Hold on. Thank you so much, CFX. We're in the fifth week of Lent. Perhaps some of you are growing a little bit weary. You started a Lenten discipline, and well, right about now it gets tough. Hold on. There are things that you go through in life, and you come to a rough spot, and hold on. You're doing ministry and you're just wondering if it's ever going to bear forth fruit. Hold on. Well, today we're going to be talking about a servant of perseverance and how we too can be servants of perseverance and keep on holding on. We have two scripture readings. The first one's from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, the 49th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. And I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward is with God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and all my God has become my strength. He says, is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel? I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. And from the Gospel of John, we'll actually begin at verse 27. We see that Jesus is a servant. And he comes to that place where things are hard. And he comes to realize that he's been called to do far more than he could ever envision. But yet perseveres with the knowledge that the one who called him will fulfill his mission through him to be a light to the nations. To fulfill that prophecy in Isaiah that I just got through reading. So beginning in John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, the 27th verse going through the 36th. And Jesus says, now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify my name. Glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to me. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. And the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, the light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you're going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, a short synopsis of these two scripture readings goes simply like this. God has a servant. God has called this servant while still in the womb. God has called this servant to redeem Israel. But yet there comes that hard place where the servant feels as if he has spent his energy in vain. And at that very moment, God says, you know what I've called you to do? I'm calling you to do even more. Calling you to be a light to the nations. And so this servant we see being Jesus. And when he came to that place where his hour came, the hour of his death, well, he didn't shrink back. He persevered and he became the true servant of perseverance and embracing that hour as his opportunity to bring glory to God. As he was lifted up, God fulfilled that prophecy in Isaiah that, this servant would be a light to the nations. And Jesus said, and I will lift all people unto myself if I be lifted up, referring to being lifted up on the cross. Well, that's a synopsis of these two scriptures. Now, what does it mean for us? Well, I hope that the word perseverance has captured your attention today. Because I don't know a single one of us who doesn't at times in life find it difficult to persevere. There are times when you're trying to do good and it seems like the results don't come. There are times that you're working in relationships and it seems like it's just not getting along like you wished it would. There are times in which you're teaching your children and you go, oh my, I don't know if they'll ever get it. There's times in which you're actually working around the clock and you just don't know how you're ever going to make ends meet. And there's times when we come to hard times. And I want you to know that you can hold on. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that would look like. But we must begin by acknowledging some important truths right now. The first one is this. The Christian life is not a walk in the park. It is not a 100-yard dash. It is not a 1-mile run. It's a marathon. God calls each of us to run the race that he has set before us, like Polly said, and we are to run it all our life. And so we must acknowledge from the very beginning that without God's help, we can't run this race. But with God's help, we can. That's the first thing that we need to do. We need to acknowledge that we've made a commitment, as the song says. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. So we begin with an understanding that we're in this thing for the long haul. That yes, it's hard, but God will help us. We're committed, no turning back. Perseverance. What's a good definition of perseverance? Well, I have one here. Steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Synonyms: persistence, tenacity, determination, staying power, diligence, commitment, stamina, endurance. I love this saying, and I use it, I share it with others. But when I share it with others, I'm really saying it to myself as well. Perseverance is what got the tortoise to the ark. Could have been the last animal on the ark. Perseverance got the tortoise to the ark. Therefore, let us run with perseverance the race set before us. How to find strength to persevere? Three simple things. First of all, go to God's Word. Feast on God's Word. Find a way that you can just be hungry for God's Word and feast on that Word. Instead of being bombarded by the news report first thing in the morning, feast on God's Word and then go have a good breakfast. But feast on God's Word. Because when you grow weary, Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in doing what is right, for at the due time, You will reap a harvest if you do not give up. There'll be times when we grow weary, but feast on God's word. Do not grow weary in doing what is right. Keep on keeping on. And then another thing, you may lose heart. That's the worst thing in life that you can lose is not your car keys. It's not even your smartphone, although I know now we all go, oh my God, I don't know how I can make it through the day without that thing. The worst thing you can lose is your heart. Because when your heart is not in it, you're done. Well, what does God's word say? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. So therefore, let us not lose heart. Though our outward nature be wasting away, our inward nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. For we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Never, ever lose heart. And then, of course, hopeless. We feel hopeless. We feel hopeless lots of times because we suffer. Suffering can render you that way. And it's not a sin to feel that way. Please know that. I felt that way. There was a time in my life where, it's just hard for me to have hope. And you know how it kind of turned around a little bit? Someone very near to me, my father, said, son, I just don't believe God would bring you this far just to forget about you. And I'm hoping for you when you can't hope yourself. And he said that with tears in his eyes. And he said, son, I know you're the minister. I don't know the Bible. You know the Bible. And I listened to my dad. And I realized that he was having hope for me. And that just kept that little flame going until I could regain it. But listen to this scripture from Romans chapter 5, verse 5. For we know that suffering produces patience. Patience produces character. Character produces hope. A hope that does not disappoint. Because our hope is in a person, in Jesus Christ. Now, that's the first thing, is learn to feast on God's word. The second thing is, look to Jesus. I love that scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and following. Therefore, let us run the race set before us with perseverance, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who endured, persevered, embracing that cross, all the while despising the shame that he felt for the joy that was set before him. So he looked to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who persevered himself, who lived our life, died our death, rose for our sake. He has blazed the way ahead for us. And there's not anything that we go through in life that he will not go through with us again and again and again. And what gets me is he's already gone through the process of death to hallow all of life and to hallow even death and the life that we know will never end. Now, there's a third thing. I love this, because this is what we're going to do, is come to this table. We feast on God's word, we look to Jesus, and we come to this table again and again and again. You know, first on Chatham, they have communion every Sunday. We have it first Sunday of the month. But we come to the table again and again because it's by grace that we run this race. And I believe, we should all believe, I have come to believe because of people like you and others, that we receive all that we need in order to be faithful to the one who's faithful to us. It's a mystery how the broken bread and the shared juice somehow or another is the body and blood of Christ. It is His life in us. It is His grace that somehow or another, when we come to our weakest time, we come to a table and a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice causes us to walk away different. I've seen it happen. You know, everybody ought to have the opportunity to administer Holy Communion because you can see it on people's faces. They come, they partake, and they walk away. And it's not always visible, but many times it is. The countenance changes. Even if you don't feel like anything's changed, you can believe it. And you can walk away kind of feeling as if, well, for right now, I believe it. I have everything I need. Every year, Christmas Eve, when I was pastor at Rich Square United Methodist Church, there'd be a special communion service. And there would always be Dr. Stevenson who would come. He would want to be the last person because he would stay at the communion table and drench it with his tears. And I knew what those tears were about. He had a daughter who had become an invalid. She had been that way for over 12 years, and he cared for her at home, and he was an old man himself, and there wasn't anything he wouldn't do for Hazel and his wife as well. And he was a doctor, and he at one time told me that it was hard for him to believe that he, as a trained doctor and a man of science and medicine, and but then he said, but you know what helped me believe? When I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, and he said, and I asked God, before I rise, will you give me what I need? And he says, every time I come to communion, I say that, and God does that. And Dr. Stevens, come to the table. I'm trying to remember this true story, and I can't remember it accurately, so I have no idea whether this is right or not, so just pretend with me, okay? You know, I love to say, here comes a preacher's story, so you gotta, okay, all right. But it's true to life. There was this family, father and mother and several children, and they had come to a hard place in life, a time of scarcity, a time of poverty, a time of wondering, you know, are they going to be able to make it? And they had very little, but the father looked at his wife and said, honey, come here. I've got a plan. And she said, that's your plan? You're crazy. He said, no. Hear me out now. Let's do it and you'll see. You know what the plan was? He was going to sacrifice everything that he had to raise just a little bit extra so they could throw a party. And they told their children, tomorrow night, you be here. We're going to have a party. They showed up. The whole place had been transformed. And they were going, well, a party? Parties are for celebrating. We got hard times. We've got scarcity. We've got challenges. And so the father replies, there are times that we just need to throw a party to remind ourselves that the hard times will not last, but the good times that the good Lord will bring will. And so we throw parties all the time. And we invite people to come to the party and be reminded that hard times won't last forever, but the good times that God brings will. Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you, says Jesus Christ. So take heart. You can persevere and run the race set before you. The invitation for communion is simply this. As soon as I can read it, I can tell you what the invitation is. Hold on. Hold on. Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's Lord love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, our Alpha and Omega, whose strong loving arms encompass the universe. For with your eternal word and Holy Spirit, you are forever one God. Through your word, you created all things and called them good. And in you, we live and move and have our being. When we fell into sin, you did not desert us. You made covenant with your people Israel and spoke through your prophets and teachers. In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is Jesus Christ, who called you Abba, Father. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own and filled them with a longing for a peace that would last and a justice that would never fail. In Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourself our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. You raised from the dead the same Jesus, who now reigns with you in glory, and poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant. On the night before meeting with death, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this juice, we may know the presence of the living Christ and may be renewed as the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood. As the grains and grapes once dispersed in the fields are now united on this table in bread and juice, so may we and all your people be gathered from every time and place into the unity of your eternal household and a feast at your table forever. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite those who will be helping to serve, those who are behind the scenes, and our CFX members to come forward.